The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, offering insights, wisdom, and counsel from the most respected CEOs. Here is the host of the Crossman Conversation, CEO edition, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition. Today we have an exceptional guest. We have John Manning here with us, who's the CEO and chairman of the board of KMI International. John, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, John. Pleased to be here.
Always good to see you, my friend. You are doing some really cool, important work in a lot of different areas in real estate. So just off the bat, can you just tell us big picture, how do you view today's real estate market from your perspective?
Well, big picture, John, we work with very large clients such as Universal, Orlando International Airport, and Canaveral Port Authority around this local area. And one of the things we obviously see is Florida's booming. So there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of interest in people moving here, and obviously people that basically spend money on entertainment and so forth. So what we see is Universal's project isn't really got impacted throughout COVID. They stopped it, but then COVID came back, or COVID basically went away, and they've started building like crazy. So that project is immune somewhat to the interest rate issues. So we work in themed entertainment as one of them. Aviation, working with the airport. Again, the number of travelers coming in and out of Orlando has increased. So we're doing some assessments with their long-range planner. So we're seeing that market continuing to grow. Canaveral Port Authority, they had to put a lot of stuff on hold again due to COVID. They're now cruising, coming back very strong. They've built up their war chest. They're looking at potentially expanding into another cruise terminal. So we're talking to them closely with that.
So let me, real quick, John, let me just make sure I understand this. So when we think about, this is my brain, okay? So when I think about the real estate market, I think about it like two big areas, like institutional people investing in real estate and corporate, they're users of real estate. So with the interest rate and the flux in the capital markets, that institution part has had some big down shifts and pause and things like that. On the corporate side, not so much, right? So if your corporation, you're growing, the number's hitting. If you're borrowing at 4%, you're borrowing at 8%, you're still growing. So in your business, you've got these corporations and they're still doing their thing because the economy's still humming. Did I get that right?
That's generally right.
Tell me this. So when a corporation is based wherever in the world and they're doing something in the state of Florida and they got to grab the hotline, you know, people, I don't remember what that, the red hotline phone, remember what that was. You know what I'm talking about. But they're going to call John Manning. Like, why are they? What is it? What's the trigger? What makes them say, I got to call John Manning? What is it they're calling you about that you're doing that's so impactful?
So our focus at KMI has always been to help owners develop their real estate. And what we mean by that is I worked for an owner previously and I saw the issues that can happen and everything else. And many times owners don't have a full team that they need. So we come in and do everything from baseline assessment. What's the property should be developed for, and also basically give detailed budgets. And then we'll come on and manage the whole process from concept to completion, where we'll come in and help them select the design firms, go through the permitting, and then we'll go in and basically manage the construction to get it done. Doesn't mean we're the contractors, but we help give them an independent voice that is clear, so it's like it's not slanted one way or the other.
Well, that's really important, right? Yeah, that's a big
is.
Deal. It's a big deal. I mean, listen, I don't know if people understand how construction costs could get out of control or some sort of small area of it, you know, can wreck a project. So yeah, having that advocacy, right, is a big deal.
That's a big
deal. The full total thing. And again, like, but you guys also, like, if somebody's buying a property, right, and you know, that's where I know you from, is like, I've had stuff under contract. I bring you in, you guys inspect the whole thing, and then you come back and tell me, like, hey, John, you thought this was a $100,000 issue. It's actually a $1.2 million issue, which has happened, by the way, Mike. That's actually happened, you know? I mean, that's a real thing.
Wow.
So you jump in, and it's critical because you could save somebody thousands or millions of dollars by having that kind of level of understanding. Did I get that right?
You got that right. I mean, we work with all different entities when we do what we call our property condition assessments, and we've worked from Las Vegas down into the Caribbean helping hotels, especially because that's one of our areas. We work in hospitality assess the entire facility. What are the things they're going to need to do in a capital improvement program? How much are they going to cost? How long they have until they have to spend it? So we develop a what's called a CapEx forecast for them.
That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. So companies that are growing, they're doing stuff in Florida. Of course, I guess the downside is becoming if they were pulling back and they were closing and they had closed facilities, that's somebody still could work with you as well.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
Because if they were, you know, XYZ, I'll just pick on somebody, if Macy's were to close a bunch of locations, then it's like, well, what do I do with it? What is it worth? And could it be refigured and redeveloped into multifamily or something like that? You could be part of that team that's really
good. We could be part of the team to figure out the cost and assessment of, you know, how they can reconfigure it, correct?
That's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, even though interest rates, that's an issue, still markets growing, fundamentals are good, people are moving here, vacationing here, that feels solid in your brain.
It feels very solid in Florida right now. I wouldn't say the other parts of the United States do, but Florida does.
No, listen, I think about that all the time. You listen, I was cheering for Detroit to make it to the Super Bowl. Actually, I went into Detroit-Baltimore Super Bowl because I thought two cities in America that could use a little more juice, right? But when I think about markets where populations are declining, that's a whole different problem. And I don't even know how you deal with that, right? Like I don't even want to think about too much, but we're so fortunate to be in a state where the population is increasing and it creates problems with it as well. But from a growth standpoint, it's a positive thing.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely very positive here.
Yeah. When you're looking at these corporations, and they're having their issues, is there anything like John Manning's top three, like, hey guys, make sure you're thinking about blank, because blank is what causes people the biggest problems. Anything in your forefront of your mind they need to know?
If I was helping an owner, and we actually help owners both in, you know, startup projects and also turn around trouble projects. First thing, number one is, do you have the adequate budget thought out for the entire project?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, where is your design standing? And have you thought out that design so it's not the worst impact you can have on a project is have a design that's incomplete. There's a lot of holes in it and you have to make changes after you get into contract. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is how you're going to manage the project.
Hmm. And in that, the biggest nightmare thing comes out of what?
Biggest nightmare thing we've had over and over again is if the budget is not adequate for the project, there's ongoing stops and starts throughout the project where the owner is just like, I can't spend anymore. But the project isn't done. So you have to reassess things and try to figure out how to cut things out and adjust things. That's probably the biggest one. The second biggest one is having a poor set of design documents.
Oh, boy.
That impacts the scenario where the contractor bid off of design documents and it's not complete.
You know, it's funny. I make this joke. One of my daughters, when she was in high school, would say to me her thought about dating and boys. And so I say back to her, I said, so what you're telling me is you would like to have a boyfriend. Yes. But you never want to talk to a boy. That's it. Right. You know, so what I hear you saying is like when you have situations where everybody's like, hey, John, I need you to get this project finished and you need to spend $10 million. And you're like, hey, to finish this bridge is $15 million. It's half a bridge. And they're like, okay, that doesn't work, right? So, man, that it is worth time with you and other people like you across the country on the front end for sure.
Yeah, the front end of a project is really critical, and many owners skimp on that because they don't have a budget. But the reality is that's the part, if you plan it out properly, it's really critical.
That's awesome. That's really good advice. Listen, I want you to hang around because we're going to take a break, come back to our next segment. I want to ask for your advice for young professionals and people are ramping up to be CEOs. I want to get John Manning's top advice on leadership and running companies. Is that okay?
Perfect.
All right.
Thanks.
So hang on. We'll take a quick break and be right back with John Manning. This is John Crossman. I work with a lot of vendors in the commercial real estate industry. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite ones ever is my friends over at Construction Unlimited, Florida's premier roofing company. And they bridge the craftsmanship with the pinnacle of innovation. They're just one of the best groups because of the trust, the expertise, the quality, and my favorite part, they're really committed to the community. When you're thinking about roofing construction needs, keep Construction Unlimited at the top of your list.
At JLL, we are reshaping the future of real estate for a better world. For over 250 years, our firm has remained committed to offering trusted and innovative solutions in commercial real estate leasing, management, investment strategies, and technology. JLL.com. See a brighter way.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
All right, we're back here at the Crossman Conversation, the CEO edition with John Manning, who, you know, beyond having a successful company, you're just a leader I admire. You know, you and I have crossed paths a lot over the couple of years. You know, you and me, other members of our teams have had a lot of conversations about philosophy of leadership and things like that. So a number of our listeners are college students or young professionals, and some of them want to be entrepreneurs, some of them want to be CEOs. And now that you're on the latter part of your career, like me, you're sort of looking back. What do you think are the most important traits of CEOs and leaders that young people need to really think about and get on? What are those for you?
One of the key things that I found over the years, sometimes hard knocks, obviously makes you think about these, but is ensuring that you build a strong core team when you build a company. We adopted what's called EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, in 2017, and that has really helped us develop a company that's everybody is in alignment. So we start off on those practice by developing what do we think are the core values we want to have in our company. We have five core values: do the right thing, always be professional, work as a team, maintain accountability, and project confidence in your relationships. And what those values are used to help hire people, help basically evaluate them as they're going through the process of being with KMI, and it builds a team that's very much aligned. And that's important. It's not all about you. That's the one thing I've run into CEOs, and it's all about them. It, to me, being a servant leader and getting a whole team working together, and as Patrick Lencioni says, rowing in the same direction, we can overcome companies that are larger than us and also basically positioned better than us by working as a team. And that's one of the key things I would say as you enter into the profession. Look at how the teams run. You know, when you pick your job, you know, how do you think the upper management is not just a one man who's a, or one woman who's just the head person. It's like it's a team.
That is really, really solid, John. That's really solid. Let me give you some feedback on that. Is that okay?
Sure.
I'm going to tell a negative story about somebody else, and then I'm going to tell two negative stories about me, so don't judge me, okay? Sure. I met with a CEO not that long ago of a major corporation, and the reason why I was meeting with them was I was letting him know that his real estate department had some pretty serious problems, like very serious problems. And it was really funny to me because it became apparent he did not want to hear it. And the meeting wasn't that long. But as the meeting was, you know, progressing, he looked at me and he said, "Hey, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Sure." Now, I just said, "Hey, your real estate department is a dumpster fire, right?" He looked at me and he goes, "Why do you wear two watches?" "Because I wear two watches." And like, I thought to myself, man, after everything I just said, what you picked up on was,
you wear two watches.
Yeah, I wear two watches. And that, by the way, the answer is one's a Fitbit, one's a watch that a friend of mine gave me who's in bad health, and I wear that to think about him. And actually, it's not even wound, right? And so that's the really uninteresting story of why I wear two watches. But I was like, wow. Like, to your point, I think this guy was a little more like, I want to be a rock star CEO as opposed to like getting in deep and digging with something. On my side of the street, the first one is that when I was an employee of other people, you know, I've always been an outlier, and I would be a bit rogue. And I think that some people didn't know how to manage me, right? And so what they would want to do is kind of pound me into submission. But if you pound me and I submit, what's going to happen is I'm not going to be me. Like, what makes me a good salesperson, where I'll, you know, jump out and do stuff and get some deals done, I'll lose that, right? And so they would have been better to try to steer me than pound me, right? That's the feedback, you know. But on my side of the street, you know, probably my rogueness was, you know, I probably would do a little bit more, should have slowed down and communicated better. On the leadership side, I absolutely have had times in my life where I thought I had a leadership team that was on the same page, and then I had to learn the hard way. We were not on the same page. And so when I heard you say that with EOS, which I love, and that here's the thing, when Mike, listen to this. If a company says they have core values and then you ask them, what are they? And they can't state them. They don't have core values. They don't have core values. And right. So when John said we have five core values and he rattled them off like that cleanly, that is impressive. And I'm willing to bet that he starts every leadership meeting like rattling us off. Right. And so if you don't have that, you don't have them. Right.
That's correct. Core values are really the core that makes your team function together.
Right.
So we can talk about those in anything we do. You know, are you doing the right thing for the client? Are you doing the right thing for KMI? Are you acting professionally? Are you working as a team? Again, teamwork is a big thing, because every company that I've seen that's great has a strong team, mm-hmm. a strong leadership team, and it radiates down within the whole company.
Yeah.
You got to care about your people.
Yeah.
Because that's one reason we went to an ESOP, because mm-hmm. we believe in our people and we want them to succeed not only within the company, but financially.
No. Well, I love the image of the rowing together too, right? You know, if you have a team that's rowing and right in the middle is one dude with his arms crossed, not rowing, that's a problem. Or if they're rowing in the opposite direction, that's just disastrous, right? And, you know, I think the other thing too, to give myself and other leaders grace, is that can take time. Right. That can take time. You develop a team. You know, if you're a Ted Lasso fan, like, he didn't come in and fix the whole team out of time. It took time to develop and know them. And gosh, was it Coach Dean Smith who had a basketball player from Senegal, and he sent somebody to Senegal to learn the Senegalian culture?
That's great. That's
right.
Great.
So then he could learn how to better communicate with this really great athlete. Like, the coach was learning how to communicate. So all those things take time to build them. But what I feel from you, I'm listening to you, John, is like, there's a lot of intentionality, right? Like, you didn't wake up one day and say, man, my system's great. You're like, hey, I need a system. I'm going to adapt somebody else's that's working, right? You know, there's a recommendation of having core values. I'm going to have core values. So it's not just you alone. There's a lot of intentionality that got you to this point. Is that correct?
And that's correct. And we had a lot of struggles at times where we didn't have the right leadership team, and that radiates down throughout the rest of the company. So we really refined it. I feel we have our strongest leadership team we ever had now.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody watches out for each other. It's really important to me, because I played sports and all different kinds of athletics, and everybody has each other's backs. And that is not typical in many corporations.
I'm going to tell you a quick story that I want as we wrap up, and it's, I hope this helps a little college students, young professionals think about this. One of my daughters ran JV cross country in high school. And when I was talking to the JV coach, he said, this is the biggest challenge I have. The girls on the team will team up and they run together. And you're like, well, that's good, right? He goes, except one gets better and they won't leave their friend, right? And he's like, you have to coach them. Like, you have to leave your friend, because then maybe they'll get better too, right? And so I think that sometimes I've seen young professionals in a work environment, and you know, they will tell you they want to be a superstar, but they're hanging out with people who are semi-retired or working part-time or administrative roles. And I'm like, guys, you may not like that head salesman. They may be kind of a jerk, but like, that's aspirational. Who are you partnering with? So to me, it's like, even if you're a college student or you're an intern or you're a young professional, you can look at your own little group. Like, what are the core values of your friends? Like, if your friends, their core values are getting drunk every Sunday night after an NFL game, and then they don't care about coming to work on Monday morning, well, was that your core values, right? And so you need to maybe sort of shift your friend group, right? Or if you're in college and the core values of your friends are, and just whatever the behavior that's not healthy or not helping you get to where you need to be. So you can take, you know, you're like, well, John Mann's a CEO of a big corporation. He's doing stuff all over. Like, yeah, but you can take what he's saying and microcosm it to a college senior or a 23-year-old.
That's absolutely correct. You know, how you live your life is known. We always say your circle of friends is really critical.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you basically build your relationships, because everything in the world is relationship management and relationships. That's how you grow. So if you hang out with the wrong people, you're going to end up with going the wrong direction. If you hang out with people that are growing and share your core values, again, of really what you want to be, you will grow.
That's really wise. John Manning, thanks for being here. We're going to take a quick break and then come back to the last segment. But again, John, thanks for being here, man.
All right.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper & Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's CrossmarkServices.com.
As the largest property tax practice in North America, Ryan's professionals possess the local footprint and knowledge, backed by a team with national expertise to help organizations minimize their property tax liabilities and ensure valuations are fair and accurate. With the Florida tax appeal deadlines approaching rapidly, local experts at Ryan work proactively with many jurisdictions across Florida well in advance of the August trim notice mailing to ensure our clients receive maximum tax savings. Guys, I use Ryan, and I hope you will too.
Once again, here's John Crossman.
Mike Gillen, how are you, sir?
Hey, great, my friend.
Listen, you know, we all have things that inspire us and what influences us. And somebody who hears me do podcasts, they might think, what influences you? And the answer, one of the people that influenced me is Dana Gould, who's he's a comedian, and he's a very bright guy, and I quote him sometimes. I recently saw an interview with him, and he was saying that what inspired him as he's doing some of his work is Sammy Davis Jr. when he would do interviews back in the day.
And that's way back.
No, listen. So he said that Sammy Davis Jr. was always really positive and everybody was like his best friend, right? And so sometimes people say, gosh, John, it seems like all your guests, you know, you love them, you care about them. And I'm like, well, it's sincere. I don't have people I hate on here and that kind of thing. All that said, what I want to say is like that, John Manning, that was the real deal, dude.
Yeah, real deal.
That was really, really good. And I mean that from a lot of perspective. First of all, it's on the business perspective of like, you know, if you were just to say, hey, John, when you're talking to other CEOs, startup CEOs, small companies, young companies, you need to hear that about the EOS and that structure. And for people who are high entrepreneur, can be a painful process to put structure in. It's critical that you get the growth. I just thought that was like so super on point. And by the way, how does a company that's small and maybe some people haven't heard of, I mean, relatively small, work with the port, work with Universal, work with, aviation large, like that's not an accident, right? So there has to be some culture connectivity.
Right.
So somebody you might listen to think like, oh my gosh, I could never have a client that's, you know, Disney or Universal or, you know, some, you know, the Orlando airport. Well, you can, but you better have a plan. You better have a structure. You better have a team, right?
Right.
So I just thought the core truth that came out of him was just really on point.
I really love the whole steps about what are important. And I think it's more than just for business. These could be applied really to just about any family operating. First, you got to have a budget. It's got to be drawn out. You got to know what it is. Second, what are you designing? What are you aiming for?
Oh,
what does
good.
That look like?
Yeah.
And third, how do you manage all of this? I think that is sage wisdom for just about any business or personal family.
We went through a major family crisis 5 years ago with my wife's health. And during that season, you know, she was not always available, you know? And so I chose to do a lot of things, right? And they were hard. One of them was, I put both my girls in counseling every Saturday. And it was one of the best things about in our lives, right? When it became, and I remember telling the girls, I'm like, when you see this counselor, you tell her anything, you tell her everything. If you're mad at me, if you're mad at your mom, you do it. And when we had this younger one graduate from high school at a party, the counselor came.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. And it may be the last time we see her, you know, because it's like that age ended. But to your point, like, raising our hand as a family and saying we're in crisis, we need help.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing in business. Like if you find your business in crisis, raise your hand, ask for help. You'd be shocked to meet people will help you.
I agree. And you know, I think so many people lean on social media And that's become like the new buzz for everybody. And we all know that it's just basically you have your Instagram ready profile and that's what's put out there, but that's not real.
Yeah.
That's not the real person. And what he's talking about affects the way we really live.
Well, you know, you can get nice quippy things out of social media. You know, like the stuff I follow will be just like generically positive things, and that's good. But if you don't do the core hard work,
that's
it's
right.
pretty meaningless.
That's right.
Right. And that's what I felt out of that John Manning interview was a very deep, sharp, wise word. That was solid.
Good word.
Absolutely. All right. This has been the Crossman Conversation CEO Edition. Until next time, Mike Gill, thanks for being here.
You got it, my friend.
This has been the Crossman Conversation CEO Edition with your host, John Crossman. Tune in next week for another talk with an experienced CEO that will help bring clarity to your business endeavors.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.